We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society with International Studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 609, 609 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. It's in its sixth printing. It's hardback edition, 350 pages. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. Beautiful, beautiful Bible. Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. And it's deluxe genuine leather. Not bonded leather, genuine leather, either black or burgundy. 12-point large print for tired eyes, 3/4-inch margins on the side. You've got to get it. Over 12,000 have theirs in their possession. Many of our radio listeners have ordered theirs. And we're getting a shipment in this next week of 2,500 more, and then in July, some 3,000 more. So get your order in. Do not delay. They're going, and almost, well, sometimes they'll be gone pretty soon. As we get them in, we send them out. So get your order in for the Defined King James Bible. All right? Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We'll tell you how to get it. Well, we begin this week a new series of broadcasts. We call it the Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. It was taken from a video that was produced by seven different schools and universities and Christian colleges, major fundamental schools. Let me just simply, it's available if you're interested in getting a copy of this. It's a large report. It's over 75 pages in length. And we want you to get it if you can. We'll tell you how to get it if you'd call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. This report has been a lengthy one. It's been difficult to write because of all the details that have gone into it. And I want to thank my daughter for typing it, the first draft of this Tuesday evening, February 19th, 1999 meeting. It began at the Independent Baptist Church in Ramsey, Minnesota. That's when we began this. It was a laborious task in itself, and I want to thank Dr. Clinton Brainine for his input into this complex and important subject. He was there. We were both there in meetings, Bible conference in Independent Baptist Church in Ramsey, Minnesota, and his lectures at the meetings were very useful in this cause. And then I wish also to thank Pastor Charles Nichols, the host pastor for these meetings, held in his church from Sunday through Wednesday of that particular week, February 1999. And without him, we would not have this report. And I'd ask him to play the video of the seven schools on Sunday afternoon, and he graciously did so. And so then, by his request and others of those attending the Bible conference, we played the video for the group assembled, and Pastor Nichols wanted us to make comments and corrections where errors occurred so the people would not be misled. And this is, of course, what we did. So the video that was produced by Bob Jones University and Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary and others, we played, and then when something was in error or distorted, we stopped the video and commented on it, and Mrs. Waite made a video of our comments as well as the comments on the video itself. And then we took the video, of course, for evidence only, so as not to misrepresent anyone, and our responses to it, and made additional comments that appear in the document that we have talking about here on the radio today. I consider this subject of the utmost importance. Utmost importance. Here you have fundamentalist schools distorting the issue of Bible versions. And we believe our radio listeners all over this country and all over the world by shortwave, should be interested in the distortions of fundamentalists in regard to this issue of Bible versions. These representatives of seven fundamentalist schools, major fundamentalist schools, have made a number of errors and distortions in relation to Bible version and the Bible version debate. And these have to be pointed out, and we did point them out. There are two chief errors as follows. Number one, they have adopted a false view of the doctrine of Bible preservation as found in the Bible. That's the first distortion of major importance. We have in the back a total of distortions that we have listed, and we give the page numbers that are found in that particular area of distortion, a total of 28 serious distortions. 28 serious distortions in this one video that lasted maybe an hour and a half or so, something like that. But the first major one is they've had a false view of the doctrine of Bible preservation as found in the Bible. These seven schools and these representatives have rejected the preservation of God's words for a preservation of God's message, concepts, ideas, or thoughts. Now, this is very important. Throughout this entire video, these representatives never once said that the Bible teaches that God was going to preserve His words, Hebrew words and Greek words, but simply the word by which they mean the message, the concepts, the ideas, or the thoughts. Now, this is the same view as adopted by apostates, heretics, modernists, and liberals. I believe this is a dangerous position to adopt. The modernist, apostate, liberals, and so on, and the heretics don't believe that God preserved His words either. And so here you have seven fundamentalist schools and nine representatives of these schools joining hands with the modernist liberal apostates who also deny that God has preserved His words of Hebrew and of Greek. Now, this is serious. Now, those of you who are listening to me must listen carefully. I'm not saying these fundamentalist schools and representatives, nine representatives, are apostates, liberals, modernists, modernists, liberals, apostates, and heretics. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying they have joined hands with these men. They have joined hands with the same belief that these men have. These apostates, I should say, these heretics, modernists, and liberals. And they have agreed to disbelieve the promises of God, which state very clearly that God has promised to preserve His words from this generation unto the end. The words of the Hebrew that were given to us in the original languages, the words of the Greek, they do not believe that. That's the first major false view, the doctrine of biblical inspiration, or rather preservation, as found in the Bible. They have rejected it. Number two, they have urged people to adopt a more ecumenical and pluralistic approach to Bible versions. Now, what do I mean by that? These nine representatives are upset with any of us who use only the King James Bible and reject any of their approved Bibles as being inferior and containing 356 doctrinal passages that are in error. These men want us to embrace the American Standard Version, the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, and other versions that they approve. And this we cannot do, and this we will not do. And we cannot take either the ASV, the NASV, or the NIV with their Greek text, differing from the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, in 5,604 places, involving at least 356 doctrinal passages where these false versions are in error. And we can't do it. But these men, oh, they love the King James Version. They love it. They say, oh, it's a beautiful thing and wonderful. But if you don't take also, in addition to the King James Bible, and have an ecumenical view of the Bible, a pluralistic view of the Bible and Bible versions, and embrace the others as well, then you are all wet. That's what they're saying. You've got to also include not only the King James Bible, but you've got to include the New American Standard Version, the American Standard Version, and the New International Version, and these others that they approve. You must accept them. You must receive them, or else something's wrong with you. Well, I don't agree with that at all. I'm not an ecumenical approach on Bible versions. I'm not a pluralistic situation, because I have my own reasons for rejecting these false versions of the Bible that they are embracing, the New American Standard Version, New International American Standard, and others as well, because of their false doctrine that are that is contained in it. The false doctrine contained in these versions that are not right. 5,604 places that are different from our Textus Receptus and our King James Bible in the New Testament alone, and they involve 356 doctrinal passages where they are in error, these other versions. And by the way, these other versions, because they use a false Greek text on which they're based, have taken away and thrown out, do you know how many Greek words? 2,886 Greek words. They've simply jettisoned. They've simply thrown out and ejected from their New Testaments. And therefore, they have left out many precious places and verses and that should be left in. 2,886 Greek words have been thrown out because of the false version of the Greek New Testament that they have been translated from in the NASV, in the American Standard Version of 1901, and in the New International Version as well. Well, here are a few introductory comments. First of all, the background of the controversy. The background of this controversy. We're living in strange days, my friend. The word fundamentalist has different meanings to different people. Years ago, the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek texts were part and parcel with the name fundamentalist. Most fundamentalists refused to use the American Standard Version of 1901, choosing the King James Bible instead. The fundamentalists especially objected to the Revised Standard Version of 1952, copyrighted by the apostate and liberal-led National Council of Churches. But no more. All has changed with the advent of the new Bible versions from about 1968 and onward. Now, many who call themselves fundamentalists, who formerly used the King James Bible and its underlying texts, have switched to various new versions. They've also switched to the Hebrew and Greek texts that underlie these versions. Yet they still maintain they're fundamentalists. And they're angry with those who question their fundamentalism, as seen in this present video. They're very angry and upset if you question their fundamentalism, because they've changed the version of the Bible that they use. Some of these fundamentalists now use and defend the New American Standard Version. Others, still calling themselves fundamentalists, use and defend the New International Version, or other versions that they use and that they like. Some who have chosen the other versions ridicule those who remain with the King James Bible, the fundamentalist Bible of yesteryear. And that's exactly what it is and what it was. The King James Bible was the fundamentalist Bible of yesteryear. They all used it. That was common. They proclaim the New American Standard, the New International Version, or some other new version, to be the Word of God, in the same sense that the King James Bible is the Word of God. Now notice how they use the Word, not the words of God, because they have different words, different Greek text words and so on, but they say it's the Word of God. By that, we're going to show that they mean just simply the message of God, not simply that the words themselves, because they don't believe that those words have been preserved, but simply the message of God, the overall thought or idea or concept of God. We're on page 2 of our report. You ought to get it. Write us or call us. We'll tell you how to get this report called Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. Now, they use the same term, the Word of God, for all three versions, in spite of the fact that in the New Testament Greek text alone, there are 5,604 places, by my actual count, where the two underlying Greek texts differ. When they differ that widely, obviously, all these versions cannot all contain the same words of God, but only the message of God. Now, this is very semantically interesting. They're playing, as Dr. David Otis Fuller used to say, they're playing antics with semantics. They're very clever in doing this. They're calling all these new versions the Word of God, including the King James Bible, but they don't say that they contain the words of God. They can't say it because the words are different. 5,604 places, Greek texts of the New Testament are different from the King James Bible versus the NIV, the New American Standard, American Standard 1901, and other modern versions and versions. It can't contain all the same words of God, but only the message of God, the overall picture and thoughts. What they are calling for, in essence, is a kind of pluralistic or ecumenical view of Bible versions. That's exactly what they're calling for. Ecumenical Bible versions. Oh, don't just pick one. Pick many of them. If we'd put an analogy as far as marriage is concerned, they'd say, oh, don't pick just one wife. Pick three or four. Don't just single one out, but pick three or four. And if you dare pick one, then you're in deep error. That's what they do with the Bible versions. Don't just pick one. You've got to embrace all of them. You've got to say all of them are equally as good. All of them are the Word of God, meaning the message of God, even though they're not the same words of God at all, because of the differences in the Greek text and even the Hebrew text of the Old Testament from which they're translated. Now, when people refuse to equate and say they're equal, all these versions, and equate them as being equally the Word of God, holding only to the King James Bible, they're berated in some unkind epithet by those who in some instances were their former friends and associates. People don't like us when we use only the King James Bible. And when we refuse to say that the other versions and perversions are on the same footing and the same level, and they're all the Word of God, meaning the message of God, when we know that they're not the same words of God. Well, the video which is analyzed in this present book and booklet and we're talking about on this broadcast, this video shows very clearly this change of direction among the so-called fundamentalists. Though some of the nine spokesmen for the seven schools, major schools, admitted this, they all still use in some form or another in their Greek classes the Westcott and Hort kind of text for the New Testament. All these seven schools, though none of them really admitted it, they all use it in some form or another in some of their Greek classes, the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort. Whether it's called the Nestle Island text or the United Bible Society text, this is the same kind of Greek New Testament that was employed by and is employed by neo-evangelicals. It's the same Greek text employed by apostate Protestants. It's the same Greek text employed by Jehovah's Witnesses. It's the same Greek text employed by the Roman Catholics. These people do not use the Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible at all. They use the same text as these fundamentalist schools have used and are using in their Greek departments. As I say, we're not saying these fundamentalist schools are new evangelicals, apostate Protestants, Jehovah's Witnesses, or Roman Catholics. We're not saying that. Listen, my friend, to what we're saying. We're saying they're using the same Greek New Testament text in their classes as these who are new evangelicals, as these who are apostate Protestants, as these who are Jehovah's Witnesses, and these who are Roman Catholics. This booklet is a transcription of the soundtrack of the message in video form distributed by a group called the Coalition for the Defense of the Scriptures. Nice, high-sounding term, isn't it? A coalition for the defense of the Scriptures. They're not going to defend the words of God. They don't believe that the words of God have been preserved in the Hebrew text and the Greek text. And they don't believe it's been preserved, and therefore they just call it the Word of God, meaning the message of God, similar to Dr. Samuel Schneider's doctoral dissertation at Bob Jones University. Recall, we had this on the broadcast many months ago. They call it the Coalition for the Defense of the Scriptures. This transcription of the soundtrack is for evidence only, as well as for scrupulous accuracy in quoting the speaker's lest I be accused of misquoting my opponents. We've set down exactly what these men have said. And then we go after them as far as point-by-point refutation of what they mean. Now, that's what we do. We quote them accurately, and then we refute their distortions. And this transcript was made from a video tape that Mrs. Waite took of the video produced by these seven schools, interspersed with our live remarks of refutational comments. There were about 25 or 30 people that stayed to view this video after our Tuesday, February 16, 1999 meeting at the Independent Baptist Church in Ramsey, Minnesota. They wanted to see it, but the pastor did not want it to be seen in and of itself alone, and so he asked Dr. Brainine and myself to ask and answer some of the questions that were distorted and to refute some of the things that simply were not true. So in addition to comments from this writer, meaning this and this speaker, D.A. Waite, other comments were made by Dr. Clinton Brainine, one of the professors at Heritage Baptist University in Greenwood, Indiana, and comments made by Pastor Charles Nichols of the Independent Baptist Church in Ramsey, Minnesota. In other words, this is a soundtrack from that video, plus our own comments. The original comments were made February 16th, 1999, as we said, at the Independent Baptist Church in Ramsey, Minnesota. And I have added additional relational and refutational comments in addition to those made February 16th. In other words, I went home, and in addition to the comments that we made at that time, the spur-of-the-moment comments and refuting the false statements made, I took it home and added to those comments other comments for this report. And that's what we're going to talk about on this broadcast these next few weeks and maybe months, probably months. And though these nine representatives from the seven major fundamentalist schools had high praise for the King James Bible, they not only differed with and belittled the Masoretic Hebrew text and the Textus Receptus Greek texts that underlie the King James Bible, but also distorted many details regarding these texts and Bible versions in general. Of special note are the 28 serious distortions noted in the concluding remarks of this booklet. And we give the pages where those are noted. Serious distortions, 28 of them in all. Well, first of all, here's a description of the video. The seven fundamentalist schools, major fundamentalist schools, here they are, that sent their nine representatives to appear on this video presentation. They call themselves major fundamentalist institutions. That's what they call themselves. Let me give you the listing of them. There are seven of them. Number one, Bob Jones University. Number two, Detroit Baptist Seminary. Number three, Central Baptist Seminary. That's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Number four, Calvary Baptist Seminary. That's in Lansdale, Pennsylvania. Number five, Maranatha Baptist Bible College. That's in Watertown, Wisconsin. Number six, Northland Baptist Bible College. That's also in Wisconsin. Number seven, Clearwater Christian College. That's Clearwater, Florida. So here are the seven schools. The seven schools that made up the Coalition for the Defense of the Scripture. That's the title that was chosen. The title, the video title that is chosen, it was either chosen by the Coalition of Defense of the Scriptures or by the nine participants. The title of this video was Fundamentalism and the Word of God. I think it was produced in late 1998. We saw it in 1999, but it was produced, we believe, in 1998. It's advertised at Bob Jones University. You can get a copy there. It's advertised at Detroit Baptist Seminary. You can get a copy there. In fact, they've gotten an ad about that they sent out to various people so that people could get it if they want it. Well, what's the topic and the purpose of this video? Well, the topic and the purpose was a response to the debate over Bible translations and the preservation of the Word of God. End of quote. That's what that is. Bible translations and the preservation of the Word of God. Now, notice, they don't say the preservation of the words of God because they don't believe that the words have been preserved. That's the clever semantical distortion that they make throughout this video. And that's what these people do not believe. They do not believe that God has perfectly preserved his words, but simply the word of God. A very clever device for saying that it's simply the message, but not the very words, because the words are in error. The Hebrew words, they say, are in error that have been preserved. Greek words are in error that have been preserved. And so, obviously, they can't use the preservation of the words of God. They don't believe it. Well, who were the participants? Here are the names of the 9 spokesmen from the 7 major fundamentalist schools as follows. There's 9 of them. Number 1, Dr. Thurman Wisdom from Bob Jones University. Number 2, Dr. Randy Yegley, also from Bob Jones University. Number 3, Dr. David Doran from Detroit Baptist Seminary, the chairman of the meeting. Number 4, Dr. William Combs of the Detroit Baptist Seminary. Number 5, Dr. Kevin Bowder of the Central Baptist Seminary. Number 6, Dr. David Burgraff, Calvary Baptist Seminary. Number 7, Reverend Larry Oates, Maranatha Baptist Bible College in Watertown, Wisconsin. Number 8, Dr. Sam Horn, Northland Baptist Bible College. And number 9, Dr. Robert Delnay, Clearwater Christian College, Clearwater, Florida. And so the soundtrack begins. Here's what they said. Here's the narrator. He comes on and says, in recent years, this is a quote, no issue has been more divisive among fundamentalists than the King James Version controversy. End of quote. Let me pause right there. The reason there's a controversy is because people who used to use the King James Bible have now switched to the new versions. And they're angry at those of us who haven't switched. Now, they should be angry at themselves. The controversy has been made because of their switching from the King James Bible to the New International Version, or to the New International Version, or the New King James Version, or some other version that they use. Let me continue. The narrator says, quote, as with all division among Christians, we must ask the following question. Is this a necessary division between light and darkness? End of quote. Let me pause right there. It is a division between light and darkness. When you see the 356 doctrinal passages that these new versions have espoused, the Greek text that changes Greek text of these new versions that changes the text of Receptus in 5,604 places, this Greek text that throws out 2,886 Greek words from our Textus Receptus that underlies our King James Bible, you've got serious problems between light and darkness. Especially when the 356 doctrinal passages have error and heresy lying within them. And you have the heresy of the false Gnostic Greek texts of Westcott and Hort that are involved in this situation. And it's a sad thing indeed. And so this is a question between light and darkness. Well, we're going to pause right here in our discussion. We're going to take it up next week. This is an important, very important subject. We ask you to get together and ask your friends to listen to us. You know the time that we're on in your particular local station. Ask your friends to listen to this. Write for this material in this book and get it. And the refutation of the major schools, the major fundamentalist schools, 7 of them, and what they said about the major versions of the Bible and of Bible preservation. It's a very important thing. We've got to know whereof we speak. We've got to stand for the words of God, not simply the word of God in a general sense. Stay tuned. We're going to continue this and ask for it. We'll tell you how to get this booklet. But time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, Director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 610. 610 weeks of weekly broadcasting, building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. Standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional Greek received New Testament text, and the received English text, the King James Bible. And as I say, we're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. It's in its sixth printing, 350 pages, hardback edition. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. Never another King James Bible like it. Uncommon words are defined accurately in the footnotes. Hundreds and hundreds of definitions so that you don't have to look them up. They're right there on the page. Deluxe genuine leather, not bonded leather. Genuine leather, either black or burgundy, your choice. 12-point large print for tired eyes. 3/4-inch margins on the sides for notes. 12,000-plus have received their copy. Why not call us? We'll tell you how to get yours. Some new ones are coming in next week, 2,500 more. Call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then we're talking now about the fundamentalist distortions on Bible versions. A very important theme indeed that we've begun as of last week. We're on page number 3, 75 pages with full index. In regard to this very important theme, as we mentioned last time, there are 7 fundamental schools. They call themselves major fundamentalist schools that have gotten together and made a video, and the organization sponsoring it, they call themselves the Coalition for the Defense of the Scriptures. They don't defend the Textus Receptus Scriptures, and they really don't defend the King James Bible exclusively. But they're calling themselves the Coalition for the Defense of the Scriptures. Very high-sounding title indeed. The purpose of the video, as we said last week, and the topic of it, was a response to the debate over Bible translations and the preservation of the Word of God. That's the purpose. The participants, they have 9 men from these 7 major fundamentalist schools, and the 9 men, they're 2 from Bob Jones University, 2 from Detroit Baptist Seminary, and then 1 each from the other schools, Central Baptist, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, Northland Baptist Bible College, and Clearwater Christian College in Clearwater, Florida. And so these 7 schools, with their 9 participants, have gotten together to make this video, and we simply are responding to it, and there are many distortions. In fact, there are 28 serious distortions that we point out in the concluding remarks of this paper and of this book. All right, we're beginning there with the narrator as he comes on the broadcast. And last week we talked about, he says, as with all division among Christians, we must ask the following question: is this a necessary division between light and darkness? My answer was yes, yes, 1,000 times yes. This is a necessary division. What is your Bible? What is your New Testament? Is your New Testament based upon a Greek text that is 2,886 words shorter than that which is founded on which the King James Bible is founded? Is that your New Testament? One that has 5,604 differences in the Greek text on which these other versions are based versus the Textus Receptus on which the King James Bible is based? Do you want a shorter Bible? A shorter New Testament? 2,886 words shorter than your Bible of the King James Bible and the Greek text that underlies it? Do you want 5,604 changes and differences? Do you want that based actually on 9,970 Greek words that have either been added, subtracted, or changed in some other way? Is that the kind of Bible, New Testament, you want? Do you want a New Testament where there are 356 doctrinal passages that are wrong versus the King James Bible, which is right, and the Greek text that underlies it? Do you want an apostate Greek text such as Nestle Island or Westcott and Hort or the United Bible Society's Greek text, on which there are four or five apostate Protestant editors and one apostate cardinal of the Roman Catholic Church, Cardinal Carlo Martini? Is that the kind of Greek text you want for your New Testament? Is there necessary division between light and darkness? You better believe it is. This is serious. And these seven so-called major fundamentalist schools have come down on the wrong side of this issue between light and darkness, in my judgment. And the narrator continues, quote, in the following panel discussion, featuring representatives from six, there really were seven, major fundamental school Christian institutions. Notice they call themselves six, well, they're really not seven, major fundamental Christian institutions. We will discuss a number of provocative questions concerning what has come to be known as the King James only issue. End of quote. Now let's just pause right there. These are actually seven. He calls them six. Well, there was apparently one added after they got the script together. I guess there were seven. I'm sure he can count. There are seven major fundamental Christian institutions. Now, my friend, there are many other institutions. Either they're fundamental or they're new evangelical or somewhere else, or they're modernist or liberal, that also adopt the same philosophy of the Westcott and Hort Greek text in the New Testament and adopt some of these other versions other than the King James Bible. Now notice he says it's come down to what is called is the King James only issue. King James only, but they never define it. They never define the King James only. What is it meant? And yet this is the smear term that they're using for King James only. And that word King James only has so many different meanings. It includes the extreme meaning of the Dr. Peter Ruckman position, which we do not believe at all. And that's, of course, what they're using that for, in order to smear and to knock every one of us, even though we're contrary to the Peter Ruckman position. His position, as you know, as you may know, is that all that we need in the world is the English language Bible. That is the King James Bible. That's the only one we need. In fact, he believes that King James English Bible corrects even the Greek and Hebrew from which it was taken. And we believe this is a heretical position, a false position. Yet he is under this umbrella smear term of King James only. There are others, Dr. Samuel Gipp, one of Dr. Ruckman's pupils, who believes that the only version of the Bible we should have in the world is the English version, the King James Bible. We should not have a Russian Bible or a German Bible or a French or Italian or Spanish, but they have to learn English. It's the English King James Bible. Now, that's a King James only position. We don't agree with that at all. And every time they use this smear term, King James only, they're calling those of us who do not agree with these matters the same as those who do. And this is absolute confusion. It's planned that way. James White did not differentiate clearly between our position and that of Dr. Peter Ruckman or Dr. Samuel Gipp. And so this is a term that is used in order to smear every one of us who use the King James Bible and believe it's the only Bible we should use in the English language. Now, we believe that you can use other languages if you have a proper Greek and Hebrew text and proper translators, proper technique of translation, and proper theology. You can get, it's possible to get, a good version and a good translation in Spanish or French or German or Portuguese or some of the other languages of the world. Let me continue. The narrator says, the discussion participants will seek to answer questions like, is the use of the King James Version now a test of orthodoxy or for fundamentalists? Let's just pause right there. Is the use of the King James Version now a test of orthodoxy for fundamentalists? Well, my friend, this was the Bible. It is the Bible in the past. It was the Bible in the past of the fundamentalists. All the fundamentalists used in the past the King James Bible. That was their Bible. That was known historically as a fundamentalist Bible. They have stepped away from these one-man versions. They've stepped away from the Phillips version years ago when that came out. They have stepped away, the fundamentalists have, from the American Standard Version of 1901. They've stepped away from the modernist apostate National Council of Churches sponsored Revised Standard Version, the RSV of 1952. And so years ago, before these other versions became popular, 1968 and beyond, for example, when the New American Standard Version came out, and then the New International Version, and then the New King James Version, and so on, it was the fundamentalist Bible. And to use it was to hold to the historic fundamentalist faith. So that's the question. Then the narrator says, historically, have fundamentalists held that the King James Version is a perfect translation? Well, then no one is saying it is necessarily absolutely 100% perfect, although I believe it's accurately translated. I hold that it's an accurate translation. If they mean a perfect translation in the sense of inerrant, infallible, God's terms, God is perfect. A man is always imperfect. But I believe it's as close to perfection as you can get, as far as I'm concerned, as far as any of the other versions of the Scripture are concerned. It was a perfect translation in the absolute sense of inerrant or infallible like God is. Man is fallible. Man is not perfect. And anything we lay our hands to may have some imperfection. But I don't hold that it is an imperfect translation. But I don't like to use the word perfect in the absolute sense of inerrant and infallible. But yet, the King James Bible is the best that we have in the whole world of Bibles. And the only one that I would use and preach from as accurate. Then another question the narrator says, we're on page 4 now. Were renowned men of God like C.H. Spurgeon, R.A. Torrey, D.L. Moody, James M. Gray, W.B. Riley, and Bob Jones Sr. misguided in their use of other English translations? End of quote. Let's pause right there. They may have used other translations that had come along, the English Revised Version of 1881 that Spurgeon occasionally quoted from, the Revised Version they call it, or Torrey or Moody or Gray or Riley or Jones. But these weren't the main version that they used was the King James Bible. And they were not advocating these texts. They did not even know the differences many times between these texts. They had not studied it. They did not know, I'm sure, they had not analyzed the text from which these versions were taken, if it was the English Revised Version of 1881 or the American Standard Version of 1901. They had not analyzed, I'm sure, the Greek texts of these things. These were not Greek men. These were preachers from the English language. They had not gone into detail. Spurgeon was not a Greek authority. Torrey was not a Greek authority. Moody was not a Greek authority. Gray, James A. Gray was not a Greek authority. Nor was Riley, nor was Bob Jones Sr. a Greek authority. These men just simply used it occasionally. They liked the way it was translated. Fine. But they did not stand for the Greek text that underlies the New Testament, for example, in those versions. They did not stand and get on the bandwagon for heretic Hort and wayward Westcott, these heretical apostates that gave us the English Revised Version of 1881 and the Greek text especially that underlay it and underlies it now. They did not know that there were 2,886 Greek words shorter in these other versions than the King James Bible. They did not know, I'm sure, that there were 5,604 places in the Greek New Testament text that differed from their King James Bible. I'm sure they did not know that there were 356 doctrinal passages in their other versions that were heretical and false to history and fact that were not in the King James Bible. They did not know this. And so they used it occasionally. But they did not advocate it. They did not take these things and put them into their Greek departments and use them as the texts to undermine the King James Bible and to class with the Textus Receptus Greek text that underlies the King James Bible either. And then the narrator continues, what is textual criticism? That's what's going to be discussed. Did the translators of the King James Version use textual criticism? Should we trust the church or any ecclesiastical group to tell us which translation to use? And then he says, are some King James Version only advocates promoting heretical doctrines? End of quote. Now notice where here he says he's accusing some, at least, of the King James Version only advocates pursuing heretical doctrines. Yet he does not specify. He says some, and you don't know, let's see, which ones are these? Are these the Dean Burgon Society? Are these the Bible for Today? Are these Dr. D.A. Waite and his broadcast, are these some of the ones that are pursuing heretical doctrines? My friend, the ones that are using the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort are pursuing heretical doctrines. 356 passages of heretical doctrines, if you want to be specific. That's the number that Dr. Jack Mormon has tabulated and totaled and pictured and pinpointed. You can have them there in his one of his books that we've published. We've reprinted seven of his books. Six of them are on the subject of the Textus Receptus versus these other versions. He has outlined these 356 doctrinal passages, major doctrinal passages, many of them, and we want you to know about that. So those promoting heretical doctrines are not simply those of the Dr. Peter Ruckman position, which say that the King James Bible corrects the original Hebrew and Greek on which it's founded, but or else those who say you can only be saved if you have used the King James Bible to be saved. These are some of the heretical doctrines they're going to point out in the video. But also the ones that are promoting heretical doctrines are the ones who are using the false Westcott and Hort Greek text, the Gnostic Greek text of heresy. These are the ones that are promoting heretical doctrines. And this is why I do not want to use these other versions based upon the New Testament Greek text of Westcott and Hort or Nestle Aland or United Bible Society, because they have 356 passages that contain heretical doctrines. And those men that are telling us on this video that we've got to be using an ecumenical Bible, we've got to have a pluralistic set of the Bibles, we've got to use all these things, we've got to call all of them the Word of God in English, we've got to call the King James Bible the Word of God, we've got to call the New American Standard the Word of God, we've got to call the New International Version the Word of God, the American Standard Version the Word of God, and so on. These who are saying we've got to call all these Bibles and use all of them are trying to get those of us who use the King James Bible to promote the heretical doctrines found in the New American Standard Version, in the American Standard Version, in the Revised Standard Version, in the New International Version, 356 passages that have heretical doctrines. So it's not the King James only people that are advocating heretical doctrines. Those of us who stand for the King James Bible and its underlying Hebrew and Greek texts, but it is those also, and I mean really universally or exclusively, I should say, that are using these false versions based on false Greek texts that are promoting and using heretical doctrines. I'll give you one example. John 6:47. The Lord Jesus Christ said, "Verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me." The heretical doctrine promoted by the New American Standard Version simply says, "He that believes has everlasting life," but leaves off the words, "on me." Now that's heretical doctrine in the New American Standard Version. And it's heretical doctrine in the New International Version, where they also say, "He that believes has everlasting life." They leave out "on me." This is heretical doctrine. And these are some of the things, the American Standard Version, "He that believes has everlasting life," heretical doctrine. The Revised Standard Version, "He that believes has everlasting life," heretical doctrine, and so on. The New Berkeley Version, and so on. Some of these versions, the Revised Standard Version, "He that believes has everlasting life." Why do they all leave out "on me"? They leave all "on me" out. The Lord Jesus is the most important part of that whole verse. We must trust in Him. The reason they leave it out is because they have their New Testaments based upon the heretical, false doctrine, Bible, and New Testament Greek text of Westcott and Hort, the two heretical men that got this thing out in 1881 and foisted it upon the English Revised Version. This is the reason why they leave out "on me." They have been sold a bill of goods, as Bob Jones University has, as Detroit Baptist Seminary has, as Maranatha Baptist Bible College has, as Northland Baptist Bible College has, as Detroit Baptist College Seminary has, as the Clearwater Christian College has, all these seven schools have, the Maranatha, as we said, Northland Baptist Bible College, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, all these have been sold a bill of goods that the heretical text of Westcott and Hort is the correct text. And this is false. It is the incorrect text. It is the false text. It's the Gnostic text that denies the deity of Christ. And some of these verses in here are reflective of the heretical changes, the revised text, the Greek text, of the Gnostics in the bygone years that got this text out in the second and even the first century. But the second and third centuries, these changes were made in the Greek New Testament text. And the reason these versions agree to take out the Lord Jesus Christ in John 6:47, take out the words "on me," is because they're all based on the wrong Greek texts, the heretical Greek texts. And so you have heresies in these new versions. And they want us, these men want us, to be pluralistic about our Bible and say all these heretical Bibles are the same as our King James Bible, and these heretical things that have 356 doctrinal perversions and falseness to history. I'm not going to do it, my friend. I'm going to stick to the King James Bible as the only one I'm going to use, because it's based upon the right Greek and Hebrew texts with the right translators, the right technique of translation, and the right theology. I'm not going to adopt the heretical theology of the New International Version, or the heretical theology of the New American Standard Version, or the heretical theology of the American Standard Version of 1901, or the Revised Standard Version of 1952, or any of these other versions that are false because they're based upon the false Greek and or Hebrew texts. Let me continue. The narrator says, the panel discussion will be led today by Dr. David Doran, pastor of the Intercity Baptist Church in Allen Park, Michigan, and chancellor of Detroit Baptist Theological Seminary. End of quote. So he's going to be leading the discussion. Dr. Doran is leading the discussion and says quite a few things in regard to this matter as he goes through. So he starts out with Dr. Doran. He says this. Let me ask this one coming down sort of really to the bottom as to why we would get together. Let me just pause here. Many times Dr. Doran makes words up, and it sounds all right on the video and so on, but it makes very little consecutive sense in the English language as you take it down exactly what he says. For instance, he says, let me ask this one coming down sort of really to the bottom as why we get together. Now, that is the most scrambled sentence I've ever seen, and he comes up with a lot of doozies like this, and I certainly don't think that they would pass the muster on an English literature or composition examination. But anyway, let me just simply say what he said. I'm just quoting him. He says this, why would we take the time to get all of our institutions here? All of our schedules. It's not like we have nothing to do with our lives. End of quote. In other words, he's saying, now why should we, these great big major institutions, major fundamentalist schools, why should Bob Jones University spend the time to come here to make this video? Why should Detroit Baptist Seminary? Why should Central Baptist Seminary? Why should Calvary Baptist Seminary? Why should Maranatha Baptist Bible College? Why should Northland Baptist Bible College? Why should Clearwater Christian College? Why should these seven schools and these nine men come together to make this video? That's the question that they ask. Then he says this, quote, why is this so important to you as a fundamentalist? Maybe you have something that is a fire in your soul about this that you would like to make a statement about. Why do you consider this such an important issue that we would be willing to stand up potentially to risk? End of quote. Stand up potentially to risk. He's saying that we're going to get on the firing line on this, and some people are not going to like what we say. We're going to be risking ourselves because we're speaking out on this subject and on this issue in the way that we're speaking out. And so we may get some risk. We're certainly going to get some risk from this preacher, and I'm the pastor of the Bible for Today Baptist Church, begun October the 4th, 1998. And as a pastor, I'm raising my voice against these major fundamentalist institutions, as they call themselves. I'm raising my voice against this video, and I'm crying out against it. And as I say, we've got this book that's against it, 75 pages, all indexed for you. Write us and we'll tell you how to get a copy of it. You ought to get it so that you can compare what we're talking about here. Simply call us at 1-800-JOHN-10-9 and ask us, how can we get this book that refutes these fundamental schools? And the book is entitled Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. That's all you have to ask for, and we'll know what you mean. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. So he says, Dr. Doran says, the chairman of this meeting, we may have potential risk. Let me continue, quote, there are going to be people who don't like what we've said. In fact, some of us here, some of us are here because we're already being attacked because we've tried to say we want the historic fundamentalist position. Let me pause right there. In other words, they've already been attacked. And these men are coming there, has already been attacked. They don't take the fundamental historic position, and so they're going to be defending themselves, as it were. Let me continue. Dr. Doran says, quote, why is this important enough to come together around a table in a conversation like this? Well, the first one to answer that question is Dr. Burgraff from the Calvary Baptist Seminary. And he says this, quote, this particular forum has been prompted because there has occurred presentations that are being circulated around our country to pastors that I believe are, number one, misrepresentations of history, number two, misrepresentations of truth, terms, and three, misrepresentations of fundamentalists. End of quote from Dr. Burgraff. Well, let me just pause right here. The video that I believe that they're answering most of all was video number three from Pensacola Christian College. And this video was circulated to many pastors around the country. And they're probably circulating this one as well around the country in the same manner. And they're responding to that, and they say that the misrepresentations of history. Well, I've seen that video number three, and I think that certainly it's accurate as far as it's concerned, as far as when Dr. Del Johnson pointed out on these graphs and charts the history of those that accepted the Westcott and Hort Greek text. And certainly that is what was said in that video, a portion of it at least. Well, then Dr. Horn speaks up as to what he, why he's there and why it's important to him. These are all school representatives of these seven major fundamentalist institutions. And Dr. Horn represents the Northland Baptist Bible College. He says, quote, I would say that I am here for two reasons. Number one, because people I care a great deal about have come under direct attack for holding positions that I think are tenable positions and right positions and are being tainted as opening the doors to liberalism. End of quote. Let's pause right there. So that's why he's there, because other people have been attacked on that grounds. And he says, quote, I attended an institution that has come under direct attack because of this. I know you have taken this because of you have taken hits because of this. So I am here. Number one, because I feel that people I have friendships with and deep appreciation for have come under attack. Number two, I think the truth has come under attack. I use the word attack intentionally. It's not just a difference of opinion. It's getting to the point where people are actually making statements that are beyond just, well, this is what I believe, this is what I think is true, and you have a difference of belief, you have a difference of opinion, and we'll have to agree to see things differently. We'll have to agree to disagree. End of quote. Let's pause right there. Let's simply say this. We'll pause right here in our broadcast. I want to remind you, this is an important issue, my friend. I hope that you'll stay tuned next week as we continue to discuss the fundamentalist distortions on Bible versions. These men are giving reasons why they're there in this discussion. And I'm glad that they're there. I'm glad that they said what they said, because now we can answer it. Now we can bring out these over 28 serious distortions on this whole issue of Bible versions and the preservation of the words of God. So stay tuned, but time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, he shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defiant King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long as the next broadcast, don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why don't you give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burkhardt Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to daily, weekly rather, weekly broadcast number 611, 611 weeks of weekly broadcasting, standing together with the Dean Burgon Society in defense of traditional Bible texts, including the traditional Masoretic Hebrew Old Testament text, the traditional received Greek New Testament text, and the traditional English text, the King James Bible. We're building Bible confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. It's in its sixth printing. It's hardback edition, 350 pages. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. Not another Bible in the world like it. Uncommon words defined accurately in the footnotes. Deluxe genuine leather. Not bonded leather, genuine leather. You have a choice of black or burgundy. 12-point large print for tired eyes. 3/4-inch margins on the side. 12,000 plus have received theirs. Call us. We'll tell you how to get yours at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we're talking about the book we have available for you if you're requesting it, Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. We're talking about this video that was produced by the Coalition for the Defense of the Scriptures, and the topic and the purpose, a response to the defense, or debate rather, over Bible translations and the preservation of the Word of God. And we've just gotten into the school representatives. Dr. David Doran has opened the thing up and has said, now, why are we here? Why did you come, and why is it important to you? Dr. Horn of the Northland Baptist Bible College, there are 7 schools. They call themselves major fundamentalist institutions. 7 of them, Bob Jones University, Detroit Baptist Seminary, Central Baptist Seminary, Calvary Baptist Seminary, Maranatha Baptist Bible College, Northland Baptist Bible College, and Clearwater Christian College. 9 men from these 7 schools, representatives, and Dr. Horn says, it's now, quote, if you don't hold this position, you're not a fundamentalist. That's what he's saying about those who don't hold a position about the King James Bible. He says, I know that the truth is being attacked in that statement, and I'm here because I feel that it is time collectively we stand and stood together and said that that is not going to happen in fundamentalism. let me pause right there. What he's saying is, there are people that say that these men that have rejected the Textus Receptus Greek New Testament that underlies our King James Bible, and who have rejected the King James Bible in its uniqueness, some have said they're not fundamentalists. And Dr. Sam Horn is getting a little bit upset at that. He says, well, it's not going to happen in fundamentalism. We're still fundamentalists, even though we use the apostate Westcott and Hort Greek text. That's what he's saying. That's what these men are saying. We're still fundamentalists as long as we, even though we do use Westcott and Hort's erroneous Gnostic New Testament Greek text that has 356 doctrinal passages that are in error and that are in heresy, and we're still fundamentalists even though we push the New American Standard Version, which is 2,886 Greek words shorter than the Textus Receptus in the New Testament, that has 5,604 differences and places that are different, and that has 356 doctrinal perversions. We're going to use the New American Standard Version, and we're still going to call ourselves fundamentalists. And we're going to use the NIV if we want to and still call ourselves fundamentalists. And the American Standard Version, and so on. And this is what we're going to do. Then he says this, quote, this Dr. Sam Horn, we keep talking about fundamentalism being divisive and antagonistic, and here's an opportunity for us as a group of fundamentalists to stand together and be united on something that we care very deeply about, and that's truth. And end of quote from Dr. Horn, Sam Horn from Northland Baptist Bible College. Well, here's Dr. Wisdom, Bob Jones University. He comes up and here's what he says, quote, I think also we're dealing with the very essence of our faith. We're saved by faith. We walk by faith. I've heard people say again and again, where is the Bible that I can hold in my hand that is the exact replica of the originals? End of quote. Let me pause right there. Dr. Wisdom and these other 8 men do not believe that we have an exact replica of the originals, either in the Hebrew text or in the Greek text. They believe that we have lost words, we have errors in the Hebrew text that God has preserved for us. He believes that we have errors in the Greek text that God has preserved for us. And so we have no exact replica of the originals. And that's where he begins. And he's knocking these people and said, where is the Bible I can hold in my hand that's exact replica? Let me continue. Dr. Wisdom says, quote, my response to that is where is the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you handle him? Can you hold him in your hands? It was Doubting Thomas who said, I must be able to hold him in my hands before I believe. I think we really are dealing with the essence of our faith in some of these spin-offs of the doctrine. End of quote from Dr. Thurman Wisdom, Bob Jones University. Well, there's a whole lot of difference between the words of God that he has promised to preserve for us, that we can have here on this earth, and the incarnate word, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's gone to heaven. We can't handle him, but God has given to us his words. He's preserved for us his words, and we can handle his words, the Hebrew words, the Greek words, and accurate translations of those Hebrew and Greek words, such as in the English language, the King James Bible. Accurate translation of God's preserved words of Hebrew and preserved words of Greek. Well, here's my refutational comments in regard to some of these things. And I say this, though it sounds plausible, this argument is entirely irrelevant to the subject at hand. The Lord Jesus Christ has gone back to heaven. The Bible has been given by God to us who are living right here on this earth. He expects us to have his words that he himself has preserved for us, to use these words, to believe these words, and to obey these words. He does not expect us to be able to touch him and handle him as the disciples did after his resurrection. Now that's my refutational comment to this response of Dr. Thurman Wisdom of Bob Jones University. Well, there's another school representative, Reverend Larry Oates of Maranatha Baptist Bible College, Watertown, Wisconsin. Here's what he says. Why he's here. Quote, I'm here because I love my Bible, but I love my God more. Now, wait a minute. Just pause right there. How can you know God without the Bible? He loves his God more than the Bible. He doesn't know anything about his God except through the Bible. I think this is a very inexact statement. Strange statement. Then he says, this is his communication to me. Notice, his word to me. It comes with his authority. Now notice, his communication, his word, but not his words. His communication. See, that's the message. That's all Reverend Larry Oates believes he has, is the message of God and his word. It carries his authority. When this Bible is attacked by those who would defend this Bible, not for the sake of it being a communication of God, but for the sake of words on a page, we're in trouble. Let's pause right there. Words on a page. He doesn't want to hold to the preservation of the words of Hebrew, the words of Greek, the words on a page. That gets him upset. All he cares about is God's communication. That's his message. That's his thought. That's his idea. That's his concept, but it's not his words. That's what these men are playing. They're playing around with addicts in semantics. They're playing addicts with semantics, and they're working on the word instead of words, and communication, and authority, and that's all they have. For the sake of words on a page, we're in trouble. He doesn't like us to talk about these words. Then Reverend Oates says, and as these other men have said, we as fundamentalists need to stand united. It troubles me when politicians or economists or dictators rewrite history to make themselves look good. Truth is essential. The issue here is truth. End of quote. Well, let me take my refutational comments here. Let me say what I respond to this statement. Words on a page. I'm going to talk about that. They've said that we think they're not fundamentalists because we hold a different version. We say they are not fundamentalists in their view of biblical preservation. For example, but not that they are not fundamentalists in the overall picture. We stand for words on a page. Yes, we do. We believe that those words on a page have been preserved by God for us through His promised Bible preservation. Is that right, Dr. Brainine? And Dr. Brainine was there at the meeting, and he responded. He said, "You're right. I think also we need to keep in mind here that he speaks of the history of fundamentalism. In that historically, fundamentalism has never held to anything different than what they're espousing. As I have mentioned, says Dr. Brainine, I think this morning we must take the history back beyond 1800. What was before B.B. Warfield? We need to keep that in mind. You see, these old Orthodox preachers did believe in what we believe, and these men are saying that this never happened. They take the history only back to the time of Warfield, who brought these ideas into our country, and not prior to. History doesn't start or stop at Warfield." End of quote. Dr. Clinton Brainine, one of the professors at Heritage Baptist University, there in Greenwood, Indiana. Well, here's a school representative. He's going to talk again. Dr. Kevin Bowder. He's of Central Baptist Seminary. And here's what he says. Why I'm here, isn't necessarily to save fundamentalism. I suspect it will survive quite well without me. If I could use you, Dave, that's Dave Doran, Dr. David Doran of Detroit Baptist Seminary, he's the chairman. If I could use you, Dave, as an example, if somebody comes to me and says that Dave Doran's wrong about this, I'll probably shrug my shoulders and say, well, maybe he is. If somebody comes to me and says, Dave Doran made a mistake, well, okay, maybe he did. If somebody says that Dave Doran isn't a fundamentalist, we'll debate the definition of fundamentalist. But if somebody comes to me and says Dave Doran is a hypocrite, he's a liar, he's not an honest man, the conversation is at a whole different level now. It's time for that person to put up or shut up. If somebody comes to me and says Dave Doran is not orthodox, that's even worse. The reason I am here is because these kinds of things are being said, not just about Dave Doran. End of quote, Dr. Kevin Bowder, that's his comment. Well, what is my refutation comment on that? On those statements, for instance, Dave Doran is not orthodox. I simply say this. We're not saying that Dave Doran is not orthodox in all the rest of his theology. We're just dealing with this one issue, the Bible, especially biblical preservation. Now, that is a false statement. That is, that we're saying he's not orthodox. We're not saying that any of these men are unorthodox or that any of these schools are unorthodox in other matters. And, of course, that's my refutational comment on this. We're not saying that. But on the issue of biblical preservation, the preservation of the words of the Bible, we believe they're not taking a fundamentalist position. Historically, they're not doing and dealing with that doctrine of Bible inspiration in a proper manner. Well, here's more school representatives. Here's Kevin Bowder again from Central Baptist Seminary. He says this, quote, "I don't believe that they're dishonest. I don't believe they're hypocrites. I believe they're thoroughly orthodox." That is, Dave Doran and these other people. "They're not heterodox. They have not denied the faith. Those are issues in my mind that are worth challenging." Well, here's Dr. Dave Doran, the chairman. He comes back and says this, "One of the things that I try to boil it down to, some of what you are saying, as I was trying to think of this, I pastor. I teach in the seminary, but I am a pastor. I like to think of it in that way. The big debate is Burger King or McDonald's. Nobody cares if Burger King says it has better hamburgers than McDonald's does. I think we can all debate that. It is a Coke or Pepsi kind of thing. The minute that Burger King says that McDonald's is putting poison in its meat, is the minute that McDonald's is going to take it very seriously. I'm here because, basically, this is what we're talking about." And a quote from Dr. Dave Doran, Detroit Baptist Seminary. Well, here's my refutational comment on that. Poison in its meat? That's an important point they're making here. Now, Bob Jones III said that Pensacola Christian College, in their video number 2 or number 3, videotape number 3, used the word poison. And that's what he wrote in a letter that was sent out to the alumni and various friends of the university, Bob Jones University. Now, if you listen to Pensacola Christian College, video number 3 it is, not number 2, but number 3, the word poison never once entered into that manuscript. In Bob Jones III's letter, he accused Pensacola Christian College of accusing people of poisoning the stream of fundamentalism. That's the word; those are the words he used. The title of the video says, and was the leaven of fundamentalism. It was not the poison, but the leaven. And that's exactly what was said. And so this idea of poisoning the meat, I believe, has the wrong meaning and connotation in this context. All right, here continues the school representative, Dr. David Dorn, comes to the bat and he says this, quote, "If anybody says that they believe that the King James is the best translation, I don't have any problem with that. I don't have any problem," he says, "if somebody says I will only use the King James. I don't have a problem with that at all." Let me pause right there, end of quote. I believe he does have a problem who says he's going to use only the King James Bible. He does have a problem. He wants them also to use the New American Standard Version. He wants them also to use the New International Version, and so on, and some of the other versions that he prefers. Let me continue. Dr. David Dorn of Detroit Baptist Seminary, the chairman of this video, says, "I do have a problem the minute somebody looks across the table and says, because you don't have the same position as I do, you are poisoning," that was never once used, "poisoning fundamentalism. You are disturbing something that is going to introduce heresy, is going to damage the cause of God in this world. Because in that kind of equation, to follow my illustration, either Burger King is right or wrong." End of quote, Dr. David Dorn. Now, here are my comments on that, refutational comments on that one. The words that he used, something that is going to introduce heresy. You see, this is what people have said about those that use the New American Standard Version, the New International Version, the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort, which is taught in these schools and seminaries and colleges. All 7 of them, in some of their classes, are using the Westcott and Hort false Greek text, whether it's Nestle-Aland, whether it's the United Bible Society text, it's basically Westcott and Hort text, with B and Aleph as the major portion of that text, the Vatican and the Sinai manuscripts, and basically the Vatican manuscript where other things fail. So people say it's going to introduce heresy. Well, the fact is that every version in English, this is me talking now, the fact is that every version in English or in any other language of the world that is based upon B, the Vatican manuscript, and Aleph, the Sinai manuscript, and or the Westcott and Hort Greek text, or the Nestle-Aland text, or the United Bible Society Greek text, does most definitely introduce heresy. Now, let me just pause right there in my comment. That is a fact. The very fact that these men are using the false Greek text of Westcott and Hort and B and Aleph, the Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, instead of the received Textus Receptus text, they are the ones that are introducing heresy. Heresy and false doctrine is introduced in the manuscripts of Westcott and Hort that are taught in the Greek classes of these 7 so-called major fundamentalist institutions. Now, this is serious indeed. They're introducing heresy. Dr. Jack Mormon, on the basis for this statement is the presence, as I've said before, of 356 doctrinal passages as specified in Dr. Jack Mormon's research, available at the Bible for Today. In these heretical Greek texts, every one of which is at variance with the Textus Receptus, and every one of which is doctrinally or historically in error. So talk about introducing heresy. Those who forfeit the right to use exclusively the King James Bible and who persist in using the false Gnostic Egyptian Greek New Testament text of Westcott and Hort, B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, They're the one, and the versions based upon them, whether in Spanish or French or German or English, such as the New American Standard Version, the American Standard Version of 1901, the New International Version, and so on, whatever it is, if it's based on the false text of Westcott and Hort, B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, they are the ones that are introducing heresy. And this amplified version that is talked so much about, Bob Jones III talks about his grandfather used the amplified version. That also is a perversion and introduces heresy. Why do I say that? Because even as Bob Jones III admits, that version, the amplified version, is based upon the American Standard Version of 1901, which is just simply a souped-up version of the English Revised Version of 1881, 20 years earlier. And that version, both of those versions, are based upon the heretical, apostate, Greek, Gnostic, Egyptian text of Westcott and Hort. And B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai, and there's 356 doctrinal passages where heresy is afoot in these versions. Well, here's the school representative again. Dr. Thurman Wisdom, Bob Jones University, says this, quote, "I think one of the confusing aspects of this whole thing is that really there are about three subgroups in this King James Only movement. I would identify the first, for the want of a better name, just as the English Version groups. There are people, there's a prominent leader, for example, he doesn't name him, but he's talking about Dr. Peter Ruckman, there's a prominent leader, for example, who said if he had the originals, that he would set them aside in favor of the King James Version. In fact, he says that he would set aside a certain Greek word in favor of King James. He says that the King James Version gives us new light on the Greek text. In some cases, he would set aside a certain Greek word in favor of what the English translation was, even if the English translation wasn't exactly perfect. I think that this is the weakest of all these positions. The question is, how would you translate into other languages? Numbers of questions arise from just this basic idea." End of quote. Well, that's Dr. Ruckman's position. That's not our position, that the English corrects the Hebrew and the Greek, and just the English version group. That's the Dr. Samuel Gibbs position, the pupil of Dr. Ruckman. That's not our position at all. And then Dr. Wisdom continues. Dr. Wisdom of Bob Jones University says, quote, "There's another group I would call the received text group, the TR group, or Textus Receptus group. These people say basically that though the King James may not have been a perfect translation, the underlying Greek text is perfect." And of course, well, that's my position. The underlying Greek text and Hebrew text is perfect. It has been perfectly preserved. We believe that's the case. And he continues, Dr. Wisdom says, quote, "that there is somewhere back in history, there's an absolutely perfect Greek text." End of quote. That's right, I believe that. This is my position. The Lord Jesus Christ promised to preserve his words, Hebrew words, Greek words. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall never pass away." He said that. He's promised to preserve his words. Over 15 or 20 times and places in Scripture, and we've repeated them in our book, Defending the King James Bible, Chapter 1. God promises to preserve not simply his word in general, but his words specifically. Hebrew words and Greek words. Not simply concepts or thoughts or ideas or message, but his words. He promised to preserve. I believe he kept his promise. He always keeps his promises, doesn't he? Do you believe you have a God that doesn't keep his promises? He has promised to preserve perfectly his Hebrew words and his Greek words, and I believe he's kept that promise in the Greek text that underlies our King James Bible and the Hebrew text that underlies our King James Bible. Let me continue. Dr. Wisdom says, quote, "One writer says there may be spelling differences, but it is absolutely a replica of the original." That is the Greek text. "This is a little better than the first group because at least you can make room for translations into other languages." Well, we believe that that's what we should do, translate into other languages. Samuel Gibbs says in order to understand the Bible, a Russian has to learn English and use the King James Bible. He's against translation into Russian. We don't hold that foolish idea at all. We believe the Word of God, the words of God, from the proper Hebrew text and Greek text should be translated accurately and faithfully into all the languages of the world, not simply the English language. Let me continue. Dr. Wisdom continues, but you have multiple problems. For example, there are at least 18 editions of the Textus Receptus, and virtually all of them differ one from another, even the modern editions of the Textus Receptus. Then you have the majority text group. Really, this is the highest level. There are legitimate textual scholars who hold to this view. End of quote. Well, let me just have a few refutational comments on that statement. Zeroing in on legitimate textual scholars who hold a majority text view. That means some of us who hold to the Textus Receptus are not legitimate textual scholars. That's what it means. That means that none of us are legitimate textual scholars. This can be said of only the so-called majority text group. This is what is taught by Larry Oates at Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Their text differs from the Textus Receptus, this majority text, in 1,800 places. And I maintain that Dean John William Burgon is a legitimate textual scholar. I also maintain that he would have defended the Textus Receptus over against the so-called majority Greek text of Hodges and Farstad. He would fault the so-called majority Greek text because it failed to measure up to his strict and specific prerequisites. And he had them, as mentioned clearly in my book, Burgon's Warnings on Revision. That's available, Bible for Today, number 804. These prerequisites are copied from his book, Revision Revived. That's also available, BFT number 611, which has been reprinted by the Dean Burgon Society. Dean Burgon would be just as much against the sloppy and precipitous work of Hodges and Farstad as he would for that equally sloppy and precipitous work of Westcott and Hort. End of quote. Now, those are my refutational comments on the so-called legitimate textual scholar statement of Dr. Thurman Wisdom of Bob Jones University. Now, Dr. Wisdom continues. He says, quote, for the majority text there, he says, the best manuscripts are in the majority of the manuscripts, however old they may be, or at least the traditional readings. So there are three basic groups that cause the confusion, I think. End of quote. Well, why doesn't Dr. Wisdom bring up his own position, which is Westcott and Hort text pure and simple, contrary to the Textus Receptus, contrary even to the majority text position? His Greek text departs not 1,800 times like the majority text from the Textus Receptus. His Greek text, the Westcott and Hort, departs 5,604 places from the Textus Receptus. But yet he doesn't push his own belief. And yet that's what he's supposed to believe. That's what he's written in his letters. He believes in the Westcott and Hort text. And here he's not bringing up his own personal viewpoints. They're very, very clever in disguising what they really believe in regard to this issue. And I believe it's not proper. I believe they ought to come flat-footed out and say, we hold to the Textus Receptus, we're against the, or rather, we hold to the Westcott and Hort text, we're against the Textus Receptus. And we're against the so-called majority text. But they're not that way. They're very, very devious, I believe, in not coming out flat-footed into what they really believe on the issues that are gripping the Christian world of today in regard to the New Testament Greek text and the translations involved. Well, we're going to continue this next week. We hope you'll stay tuned. Very important subject on the fundamentalist distortions on Bible verses. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us. Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey. Or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible. Or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now, toll-free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. We now present the Bible for Today of the Air, heard each week at the same time and over the same station, sponsored by the Bible for Today Incorporated and the Dean Burgon Society, with international studios at 900 Park Avenue, Collingswood, New Jersey. This is Dr. D.A. Waite, director of the Bible for Today, speaking. Welcome to weekly broadcast number 612, 612 weeks of weekly broadcasting, Building Bible Confidence. Confidence in the King James Bible, because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. The order phone number is 1-800-JOHN-10-9. That's 1-800-JOHN-10-9. For other things, please call us on our question and answer phone at 609-854-4452. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like you to get our book we call Defending the King James Bible. This is in its sixth printing. It's a hardback edition, 350 pages. Why not ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible, or call us direct. We'll tell you how to get it at 1-800-JOHN-10-9. And then don't forget to order your Defined King James Bible. Not another Bible like it in all the world. Uncommon words defined accurately in the footnotes. Deluxe genuine leather, not bonded leather, genuine leather. The top of the line, either burgundy or black. 12-point large print for tired eyes. 3/4-inch margin on the side. Tremendous Bible. Over 12,000 people all over the world have theirs. Many people who have listened to us have been ordering it. Call us. We'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. All right, we've been talking in these last few weeks about the fundamentalist distortions on Bible versions. Fundamentalist distortions on Bible versions. We have these seven, they call themselves major fundamentalist institutions that have gotten a video out that's been taken, I suppose, and sent and purchased all over the world, all over the area. And these seven schools have got some distortions when it comes to the Bible version issue. And we're answering this distortion and these distortions. In fact, there are 28 serious distortions that we're going to be talking about in the next weeks and months that come along. We want you to get this book if you're interested in it. Just ask us how to get Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Versions. Call us. We'll tell you how to get it. 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Nine representatives from the following seven schools are participants in this video. Bob Jones University is the first school. Detroit Baptist Seminary is the second. Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis is the third. The fourth is Calvary Baptist Seminary, Lansdale, Pennsylvania. The fifth, Maranatha Baptist Bible College. Maranatha is located in Watertown, Wisconsin. Sixth is Northland Baptist Bible College, also in Wisconsin. Seventh is Clearwater Christian College, Clearwater, Florida. And so we're on page number 8 of this report, and we're talking about school representatives. They're arguing about things, and Dr. Wisdom has spoken last broadcast, and now Dr. David Dorn from Detroit Baptist Seminary, who is the chairman of the meeting, says this, quote, "In essence, just to set it all in context, none of us have a complaint about anybody using the King James." End of quote. Let me pause right there. I believe they do have a problem with people using the King James Bible, especially if that's the only Bible that they use, and especially if they think it's the best of any of the others, and they don't want to use the New American Standard Version, or the American Standard Version of 1901, or the New International Version, or any of these other versions, because they not only think it's best, but they know that the others are filled with heretical doctrines, and 356 of them. And this is the thing that I think they want us to have, an ecumenical approach to Bible versions. And that's where they're angry about us. He says, oh, we don't have any problem or complaint about anybody using the King James. That is, they continue, that is completely acceptable. And in fact, a very frequent position in our movement. End of quote. See, they recognize that the position is to use the King James Bible in their movement. That is the fundamentalist movement in this country. But the thing that they don't like is the fact that we will not use other versions as well and hold them up and say they're equally the Word of God in English. And we won't do that because of the differences in the Greek texts that underlie the other versions versus our King James Bible. Let me continue. Dr. Dorn says, quote, "The question comes down to us as to why you choose the King James. If you begin to do some things that raise doctrinal and historical problems, when you do that, that's really our point of discussion today. You can have a position that uses the King James that is really fine and acceptable, but then there is a sort of an errant form that bases it is a wrong doc. Let me see that bases it on wrong doctrinal and biblical issues." Kevin, he says, you have looked at the idea as to when this started. to come in, particularly among the fundamentalists, as far as the King James Bible issue is concerned. Well, let's pause right there and simply say this. When he says, if you use it, that's fine, but if you do some things that raise doctrinal and historical problems when you do that, that really is our point of discussion today. So he's talking about some of these doctrinal issues, and maybe the issue of Dr. Ruckman's position, which is, of course, different than ours and many of the positions of the people in this country and all over the world. We use the King James Bible because it's the best one. We do not say, as Dr. Ruckman says, that the King James Bible corrects the original Hebrew and Greek from which it comes. We believe that's an heretical position. We don't agree with that at all. And so he's talking about the King James Version issue. Well, here's some of my refutational comments on that. When Dr. Doran talked about an errant form that bases it on wrong doctrinal and biblical issues, he is restricting himself to the erroneous view of Dr. Peter Ruckman and his followers, though he does not specify this. By not specifying this, he blackens all of those who hold only to the King James Bible, including them all, in this errant form. The form that believes the King James Bible corrects the Hebrew and Greek text from which it comes. This is grossly unfair to the multitudes who have nothing to do with this view. Now that's my comment. That's my refutational comment on this statement of Dr. Doran. Well, he's asked Kevin Bowder to say some things about when did this come into the movement, into this fundamentalist movement. And so here's Kevin Bowder, Dr. Kevin Bowder from Central Baptist Seminary. He says this, quote, as far as when it becomes strong in fundamentalism, I have difficulty finding much of an articulation of the King James only position before about 1970. Clearly, there was criticism of the Revised Standard Version before that time, but the early fundamentalists didn't offer that kind of criticism. They had available to them, besides the King James, four different translations. They had Young's Literal Translation, which was done during the 19th century. During the mid-19th century, the American Bible Union had begun work on an English translation that was available to them by about the turn of the century. They had the Revised Version, which is not to be confused with the Revised Standard. The Revised Version, that's he's talking about the 1881 English Revised Version. Let me continue. Dr. Bowder says, they had the American Standard Version of 1901. The early fundamentalists, for fundamentalists, the fundamentalists of the teens and 20s, had four versions available to them beside the King James Bible. You know, when you're dealing with scholars, when they want to quote to you, that's what I want to do right now, is to give you a few quotes. These are just some words from some of the prominent early leaders. The first one is not really an American fundamentalist. He is a Baptist equivalent to a fundamentalist, the British equivalent, rather, to a fundamentalist. His name is Charles Spurgeon. What he says is, and then he quotes Charles Spurgeon. Let me pause right there with Dr. Kevin Bowder's statement, school representative of the Central Baptist Seminary in Minneapolis. He did not point out, however, that the great vast majority of the fundamentalists in the 1910s, 1920s, and the early century of the 20th century, he did not point out the fact that most of the fundamentalists used not any of these four versions that he points out that were available to them, but they used the King James Bible. He did not point this out. The King James Bible was the Bible of the fundamentalists. And it used to be that up to 1968 when the NASB, New American Standard Version, came out, and later on the New International Version, and then the New King James Version, and so on. But it has been, historically, in the past, the Bible of the fundamentalists. And I was going to quote Spurgeon. Here's what he says. Quote, do not needlessly amend our authorized version. Correct for correction must be for truth's sake, but never for vainglorious display of your critical ability. End of quote. Well, that statement is a praise for the authorized version. Don't correct it just to be correcting it. And Charles Spurgeon lived at the time, shortly thereafter, of the Revised Version, English Revised Version of 1881. And he says, don't correct it just for correction's sake. Here's R.A. Torrey. Here's what Dr. Kevin Bowder is quoting from R.A. Torrey. He said this, quote, no one, so far as I know, holds that the English translation of the Bible is absolutely infallible and inerrant. the doctrine held by many is that the scriptures, as originally given, were absolutely infallible and inerrant, and our English translation is a substantially accurate rendering of the scriptures as originally given. End of quote from R.A. Torrey. All right, that's. I don't believe that the English, we can say and use the word infallible and inerrant. I don't use those terms. There are some of my friends that do, and they try to use those terms, but I believe that I don't believe that they're errant. I don't believe that they're fallible, but I don't like to use the high term, infallible and inerrant, for any translation, whether it's Spanish or French or German or English or any kind like that, because I believe that men are errant and God is inerrant. Men are fallible. Only God is infallible. I like to say that the Greek and Hebrew texts that God has preserved for us to this very day that underlie our King James Bible, those preserved Hebrew and Greek texts, I believe are inerrant. I believe that they're infallible. And I believe that they're preserved by God word for word in Hebrew and in Greek. And the translation from those original manuscripts have been preserved, have been accurately translated by our King James Bible. Well, Dr. Kevin Botter quotes James M. Gray, who was for years the president of Moody Bible Institute, when it was a flagship school of American fundamentalism. Here's what he says. Quote, "The Bible as we now have it, in its various translations and revisions, when freed from all errors and mistakes of translators, copyists, and printers, is the very word of God, and consequently, holy and without error." So he says freed from different inconsistencies and so on. That's the statement of James M. Gray. All right, he quotes now W.B. Riley. And here's what he said, quote, "To claim inerrancy for the King James Version, or even the Revised Version, is to claim inerrancy for men who never professed it for themselves. It is to clothe with the claim of verbal inspiration the company of men who would almost quit their graves to repudiate such equality with prophet and apostle." End of quote. Well, I concur with that. W.B. Riley is correct in that as far as claiming inerrancy for men. And that's the thing. Whenever you have a translation, I claim inerrancy for my God. I claim infallibility for my God, but not for men. This is the distinction that we have, and we must understand this very clearly. My God cannot make a mistake. My God is infallible. My God is inerrant, but men are fallible and errant. And so I don't like to use those terms, inerrancy, infallibility, as I said, for anything except the preserved Hebrew text, the preserved Greek text that underlies our King James Bible. And that does not mean that I think that the King James Bible is errant or fallible. I just don't like to use that complete term, inerrant and infallible. All you have to do is find one mistake, either of a printer or something else, of the transcriber, in the King James Bible, and the whole thing, inerrancy, falls apart. And as you may know, those of you who listen to me from time to time on this radio broadcast, we have differences, for instance, in the Oxford edition of the King James Bible versus the Cambridge edition of the King James Bible. And in the Oxford edition that we have, there are at least three places, there may be others, there are at least three places where the Oxford King James Bible differs from the Hebrew text, differs from the original King James 1611, and differs from the Cambridge Greek New Testament, Cambridge Bible. And the Cambridge is right, and the Oxford is wrong. You see, and if I say that the King James Bible is inerrant and infallible, I'm going to be lying at those three places where the Oxford English Dictionary, the Oxford edition of the King James Bible, such as I use. I use the Old Schofield Reference Bible many places, many times, as well as our own defined King James Bible. But the Old Schofield Reference Bible is an Oxford Bible. It's put out by the Oxford University Press. And it has at least these three errors. Errors from the Hebrew, errors from the original 1611. So you see, the Bible I hold in my hand is not necessarily inerrant. It can't be inerrant if it has these three errors. And it may have others. And but the original 1611 was proper and correct in these three places. So what I'm saying is, you've got to be very careful using those high terms for anything that man, either the original translators of the King James Bible, or the printers, or the publishers, you have to be very careful using those terms that you should rely upon only for God Himself. Now, the difference is, these men of the nine schools, seven schools and the nine representatives of these seven schools, they do not believe that we have today infallible Hebrew texts that God has preserved infallibly and inerrantly. They don't believe that we have inerrant Greek texts of the New Testament, an infallible Greek text that God has preserved inerrantly and infallibly. They don't have that. I believe that. That's my personal faith in the preservation of the words of God. Hebrew words and Greek words. Well, he goes ahead and quotes, I'm back to Kevin Bauer now from Central Baptist Seminary, and he quotes Riley in another place, and he says this, quote, "Once more I repeat it with all the vigor of my soul, the accepted versions of the Bible are all substantially correct," end of quote. Well, let me just pause right there. All substantially correct? Riley had never studied the issue, or he could not have said that. He could not have said all of substantially correct if he had known and had studied the fact that some of the versions they used, including the Revised Version, English Revised Version of 1881 compared to the King James Bible, has a total of 5,604 differences in the Greek text of the New Testament. How could a Bible translated from a Greek text in the New Testament that had 5,604 differences from another Bible, like the King James Bible, translated from the text Receptus, how could both of these be substantially correct? Now, the man just never studied it. The man was inaccurate in his statement. The man is absolutely false. Riley is incorrect in that statement. And why Kevin Bauer, who should know better, quotes him correctly and quotes him accurately, but quotes him approvingly, why he does that, I'll never know. Bauer says this later. He says, after he quotes him, he says, when he said that he had at least four available to him at that time besides the King James Bible, and he is naming all of them as substantially correct, end of quote. That's Kevin Bauer, Central Baptist Seminary. That's the Central Baptist Seminary that's gotten out this Bible Versions Debate book that we've answered also. And that's going to be available as well. And he says they're all substantially correct, and he's agreeing with them. Well, what does substantially correct mean? How can you have a Greek text different from our Textus Receptus on which our King James Bible is based, this Greek text that drops out 2,886 Greek words, just drops them right out? How can that be as substantially correct as the King James Bible that has those 2,886 Greek words? What do we mean by substantially correct? It seems to me if you have 2,886 Greek words of substance that isn't there, you cannot have both of them be substantially correct. One of them has to be correct and the other has to be incorrect. 2,886 places. And the King James Bible is the one that's correct. Not these other versions, the English Revised Version, American Standard Version, New American Standard Version, New International Version, all of which base their New Testaments on the fallacious, Gnostic, Egyptian, Westcott and Hort, B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai manuscripts. And how can you say they're all substantially correct? See, that's the thing that gets me. These men who should know better, these fundamentalists from fundamentalist schools, are distorting the issues and the facts on Bible versions. That's why we've called this fundamentalist distortions on Bible versions. This is a tremendous, gigantic, colossal distortion to say that all these four versions, including the English Revised Version, American Standard Version, and so on, are all substantially correct. How can you say substantially correct when the King James Bible is based on the Textus Receptus and the others are based on the Westcott and Hort, B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai text, which has 5,604 differences, different places, where they've changed the Textus Receptus? 5,604 places by my actual count. And how can you say both of these sets of versions, those that have 5,604 variations from the Textus Receptus in the King James Bible, how can you say that all of them are substantially correct? And how can you say, with Kevin Bauer of Central Baptist Seminary, Minneapolis, Minnesota, how can you say that a Bible, a New Testament, is substantially correct when it's based upon the false text of B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai manuscripts, or the Westcott and Hort text, or the Nestle-Aland text, or the United Bible Society text, such as these versions are that we've been talking about? How can you say they're substantially correct when they have 356 doctrinal passages where they are incorrect, substantially incorrect, and doctrinally heretical and apostate and false to history and fact. You see, Kevin Bowder has not studied the issue, or he never could say they're all substantially correct, agreeing with W.B. Riley. And this is the thing that gets me, as I said before. These seven institutions, they call themselves major fundamentalist institutions. That's their word for themselves. These nine men and these seven institutions that call themselves major fundamentalist institutions want the rest of us to agree with W.B. Riley and agree with Kevin Bowder of Central Baptist Seminary to say that all these versions are substantially correct. And all of us have to mouth the words, they're all substantially correct. Well, I'm not going to do that because they're substantially incorrect unless they're the King James Bible. The New American Standard Version is substantially incorrect. The New International Version is substantially incorrect. American Standard Version 1908 is substantially incorrect. Now, all these versions he's named, based on the wrong Greek text, New Testament, is substantially incorrect. Well, here's some refutational comments on Kevin Bowder's statement and his quotation. Here's what I say. When these nine men from these seven schools are trying to make those of us who use only the King James Bible, what they're trying to do is to take an ecumenical and pluralistic Bible approach. That's what they're trying to make us to do. That is, they want us to say that all of the present versions that they approve of are equally the Word of God in English. And as I say, all substantially correct. That's what they're trying to get us to say. Because of the heresies contained in those versions based on the Westcott and Hort or B and Aleph, Vatican and Sinai texts, we cannot say this. And we will not say this. This is a pluralistic view of the Bible. To do this, we would have to admit that the 5,604 places where the Westcott and Hort Greek text differs from the Textus Receptus Greek text underlying the King James Bible, we'd have to say that they really don't make any difference after all. 5,604 places, they don't make any difference. That's what we'd have to say. It is to say that the 356 doctrinal passages where the other versions that these men sanction and that are in doctrinal and historical error, we'd have to say they really don't make any differences after all. 356 doctrinal passages. In reality, they make a world of difference. These men have not come to grips with this subject. They're not talking without the necessary... They are talking, rather, without the necessary knowledge of the subject. They don't even know where the 5,604 places are. They don't even know where the 356 doctrinal passages are. No wonder they take the ecumenical and pluralistic view of Bible versions. This is serious, my friend. Very serious. They have not done their homework, and yet they go on the television sets of the homes of our country with this video that they produced, and they try to make all these distortions that are just simply distortions. That's exactly what they are. They're errors. They're errors. And they call themselves the Coalition for the Defense of the Scriptures. Well, the first thing these men ought to do is to find out the facts about the Scriptures and the facts about the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie these versions of the New Testament in the English language. And they have not found out the facts. They don't know these truths. They're speaking from the hip. They're shooting from the hip, as we say. Well, let me continue. Back to the school representatives. Here's Dr. Doran, the chairman of the meeting from Detroit Baptist Seminary. He says this, quote, "One of the things that you mentioned," this is what Kevin Bowder mentioned, "was that they are making a statement about inerrancy in the originals, that's where we put the attention, the originals. It seems now that some in the King James only position are starting to argue that to ask for inerrancy in the originals is actually a new, and some are even saying, a heretical position." And, well, let me pause right here. I do not say that's a heretical position at all, to have the originals inerrant. Why, if you don't have an originals inerrant, how can you have inerrancy in the copies of the Greek and Hebrew originals? To say that this is a heretical position is an absolutely false position. And as I said before, this is the position of Dr. Ted Leidis. Theodore Leidis has taken this position, which is false. And to say that this is a heretical position, to say that the originals are inerrant and infallible, is certainly wrong. And then Dr. Doran continues. He says, but that is not what I was taught as I was going and getting my theological training, that it's new and heretical, that is inerrancy of the originals. And I know some of you teach theology and wrestle with that question. Is this idea of inerrancy of the originals a new and heretical position? End of quote from Dr. Doran. Now, here are my refutational comments on that. This idea of inerrancy in the originals as being actually a new and heretical position is an erroneous position. It's offered on the Pensacola Christian tape number 3 by Dr. Ted Leidis. He's wrong. He's wrong to say it's a heretical position. He's wrong to say it came in something new, inerrancy in the originals. From quotations that Leidis makes from various sources in his works, it is doubtful that he believes in an inerrant original himself. One of the authors he quotes favorably did not. Westcott and Hort did not either. They didn't believe those inerrant originals. We of the Bible for Today and the Dean Bergen Society have no trouble at all in believing in the inerrancy of the originals. We hold firmly to this position. Now, this is a serious distortion. This is a serious distortion to claim that many of us who hold to the King James Bible are considering that inerrancy in the originals is heretical position. That's the Ted Leidis position that he enunciated on the Pensacola Christian College tape number 3. We do not agree with Ted Leidis on many areas. This is certainly one. I personally go beyond this with my view of the Bible preservation of those originals through the faithful copies. In other words, not simply inerrancy in the original, but faithful copy. By faith in God's promise of Bible preservation of His words, and after studying this theme since 1971, it is my considered opinion that the Hebrew and Greek texts underlying the King James Bible are also inerrant and infallible. Did you get that? That's my position. Inerrancy and infallibility of the Greek and Hebrew texts that underlie the King James Bible. Well, Dr. Kevin Botter of Central Baptist Seminary continues, and he says, well, the term inerrancy is relatively new. It's less than a couple of hundred years old. The notion of inerrancy is much older than that, of course. This isn't just a dispute that affects fundamentalists. The evangelical community has been deliberating for decades now whether inerrancy is the historic doctrine of the church. I think that John Woodbridge in his book, Biblical Authority, really wins the case on that. It's a shame that that book has been ignored to the degree that it has in evangelical circles. Even though the word inerrancy was not there, clearly the belief of the church was that the originals were inerrant. They simply accepted it as God's word. End of quote. Now, this is false to say that the inerrancy was just a couple of hundred years old. In our next broadcast, we're going to be quoting from the inerrancy and the use of the word inerrancy in the English language in the 1600s to show that these men are false when they say inerrancy is a new word. Stay tuned, my friend. This is an important argument to see. We want you to get this book, The Fundamentalist Distortions on Bible Verses. Well, time's up for now. Remember the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Write us, Bible for Today, Collingswood, New Jersey, or call us on the order phone, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Ask your bookstore to get Defending the King James Bible and the Defined King James Bible, or call us direct, 1-800-JOHN-10-9. Dr. D.A. Waite, signing off and reminding you, you can have confidence in the King James Bible because the King James Bible is the Bible for today. So long until the next broadcast. Don't miss it. We'd like to hear from you. Why not give us a call right now? Toll free, 1-800-JOHN-10-9.